What I'm going to be mentioning tonight is, I entitled my message, The Blessing. And the verse that always comes to me is David in the Bible, where he talks about, I am poor, needy, and helpless. And that just speaks volumes about why we need blessing. And, you know, just to try to get your hands around this, it was impossible because there's so much about blessing. There's so many different aspects of blessing. And I'm going to talk about just a few of those parts. But the thing that that I realized as I was studying this is that it's a two-way street. Our big thing in blessing, of course, is that God is the one that blesses us. And we receive that blessing, and then we, of course, turn that around and bless others. I think one of the main reasons we came here tonight was so that we could receive the blessing. We, as I said, we're needy people, and we have struggles in our lives, and we're constantly having difficulties, and we're not perfect, of course, and so that blessing that we need from God, and we need that blessing from each other. We're going to take a little tiny aside right now. We're going to talk about a character from history that was early church history, 300 AD, and this is St. Patrick, and just show of hands, how many of y'all know St. Patrick's Day today? Okay, good.
We wore our shirts.
So I'm going to have everybody come up, and we're going to share a little bit about the true St. Patrick. We all know that Mr. Krause had reminded me that, you know, there's other ideas about what St. Patrick's Day is about. We think of leprechauns, and we think of just green beer or whatever it is, all the things that go with that the world puts into St. Patrick's Day. But we know that St. Patrick is a saint, and he is someone that has a very major ties to church history. And so we're going to have the Orman children going to come up. They're going to share a little bit about St. Patrick's Day. Y'all want to come up? We've got a tall mic for the tall ones. Short mic for short ones. Okay.
The cry, "Pirates," struck terror into his heart. 16-year-old Patrick leapt out of bed, put on his tunic, slipped on his sandals, and ran outside. His mother and father had went into town and left him to take care of the servants and the country estate. Red-bearded men with clubs and swords were everywhere. They captured Patrick and the servants, tied their hands behind their back, and took them to their ships. A week later, Patrick was on the northern coast of Ireland, tending sheep for an Irish chieftain. He hated the Irish. He was so angry that they took him as a slave. Someday, he vowed, he would repay them for their cruelty. But year by year, he noticed a strange change coming over him. It began as a painful guilt for his sins and unbelief. Then, as the weight of his guilt drove him to despair, he sensed the Spirit of God drawing near. Although his parents had attended a Christian church, and he knew of Christ and the commandments, Patrick didn't care. Often the priest had warned him, "Take care to your soul," but Patrick just went his own way. He chided himself for his boyhood lack of interest as he tried to recall old sermons and Bible verses. He didn't have the Bible, so he couldn't read the Word of God, but he could pray. Early in the morning, he got up and prayed to God. And as many as 100 times every day, he lifted his voice in prayer to the Lord. And if he got up in the night, he would pray before going back to sleep. Not only did the Irish take slaves from other lands, they also fought constantly among themselves. Their heathen priests, called Druids, held sway over the people. They decorated themselves with bird skins and feathers, and performed religious rituals, animal sacrifices, and predicted the future. The people of Ireland needed to hear the good news of Jesus, so Patrick began to pray for the salvation of his captors. In the sixth year of his captivity, Patrick had a dream. In it, a voice said, "Soon you will leave to your own country. See, your ship is ready now." He took it as a sign from God and made hasty plans to escape. Early the next morning he fled, knowing that runaway slaves might face torture or even death. He walked 200 miles to a seaport and found a ship ready to depart. He asked the captain if he could sail with them, but the captain, seeing that he was a slave, answered him, "It was no use for you to go along with us. You must leave at once." He turned to leave, and as he did, he prayed for guidance. When he finished, one of the sailors in the back of the boat cried, "Come, hurry, we shall take you on." He leapt aboard and was soon on his way to freedom. Then the ship landed in a desolate area, and the men became half-starved and weak. The captain fixed his fiery eyes on Patrick and asked, "Tell me, Christian, if your God is so great and powerful, why then do you not pray for us? We are starving, and it is unlikely that we shall ever see a human being again." But he smiled and said, "Be truly converted with all your heart to the Lord my God, for nothing is impossible for him. This day he may send you food, because he has abundance everywhere." A few minutes later, wild pigs crossed the path in front of them. They feasted on him for days. Eventually, Patrick made his way home and was received as one returned from the dead. His parents and family said, "You have suffered so much. Settle down in peace and never leave us again." Only Patrick could not get the Irish out of his thoughts. One night he had a dream. An Irish man came, and more voices spoke in unison, saying, "We ask you, boy, come and walk among us once more." Another night he had the same dream, only the Lord spoke, "He that laid down his life for you is he that speaks with you." He awoke full of joy, knowing that God wanted him to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to Ireland. But when he told his family, they were shocked. "Don't do this," they pleaded. "If you go, you'll be killed or made a slave again." But he only smiled and said, "I am prepared most gladly for his name to give even my life without hesitation. It is in Ireland that I wish to serve until I die, if the Lord would grant it to me." After several years of preparation in the monasteries of France, he was ordained and commissioned as a missionary to Ireland. He took several helpers with him. Almost immediately, Dichu, a local ruler, accepted Patrick's teaching and was baptized. But not everyone was so accepting. All the Druids were upset that he was leading them away from the idols and the power the Druid priests had over them. He was robbed, beaten, imprisoned, and tortured by his opponents. One time he was even taken as a slave again. 12 times he was nearly killed. "Daily I expect murder, fraud, or captivity. But I fear none of these things, for I cast myself into the hands of the God Almighty, who rules everywhere. As the prophet says, 'Cast your cares upon God, and he shall sustain you.'" 40 years Patrick labored among the Irish. He shared the gospel and helped break the foundation of the Irish slave trade. Near the end of his life, when he was asked about the hardships, he said, "The greatest gift of my life is to know and love God. To serve him is my highest joy." He died on March 17th, 461. That's why March 17th is St. Patrick's Day.
This is one story the Irish tell about Patrick. When Patrick was teaching about the Holy Trinity, the people could not understand why there is one God and three divine persons. Patrick looked down, and growing at his feet was a shamrock. He picked it and held it up as a showing that there is one stem but three leaves. The people understood the Holy Trinity at once.
Some people say that there are no snakes on Ireland because St. Patrick drove them away by beating a drum hard and fast. The snakes couldn't stand the noise because, so they slithered into the sea.
The life of Patrick reminds us that even in our suffering, God is glorified and can do amazing things when we are faithful. Something that seems small, like teaching our children about God, is huge when we are obedient, like Patrick's parents teaching him. Since Patrick took the gospel to Ireland, it survived there, along with other learning, while the European continent was trudging through the dark and Middle Ages. Our family ties are from Ireland, so we benefit from him directly. May we all purpose to do God's will for our life, even if it's hard or if it's something no one else has done before. To God be the glory. Thank you.
You'll probably notice that we may have ties with Ireland, with Christina, with her red hair up here. So there's no question that we are related. So very enjoyable. Thank you, guys. And the other thing we found also was a prayer of St. Patrick, and it goes, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. One of the thoughts that came to me as Mr. Scroggins was sharing was that there was a day of danger, or as Ephesians talks about it, a day of evil that came upon Patrick, and so he experienced that moment, you know, life going along just fine, and all of a sudden one moment. But because of the circumstances that happened to Patrick, and you know, we're talking about long ago. But that is a blessing that's carried along through the generations up to today. And because of that family legacy that happened through Patrick, we can say, you know, Christ has come to our family as a result. So it's an exciting thing to think about the ties that we have of people that lived hundreds of years ago and the blessings that we have from them. We wanted to talk a little bit about an aspect of blessing that is in the Scripture. And I wanted to read that with you today. Let's look at Genesis chapter 27. This is the familiar passage. Again, there is so much. I mean, you turn to the very first page of the Bible, and right away you start in with blessing. Because the Bible is just, it's a blessing book. And it's full of the energy of blessing. But we're just going to try to take a little snapshot, a little slice of that meaning of blessing tonight. Just focus in on the life of Isaac and his sons Jacob and Esau. Let's again, the chapter is 27 of Genesis. I'm going to just read that section, verses 1 through 40, just to kind of give us some context where we're going. Chapter 27, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, My son. And he answered him, Here I am. Then he said, Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please, take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make the savory food such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats. And I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, and that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on me myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice. And go, get them for me, And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were there in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth parts of the neck. And then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near and that I may feel you, my son, whether you really are my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate it, and he brought him wine, and he drank it. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now, kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, saying, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food, and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father rise and eat of my son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, Who? "Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came and with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now, look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants, and grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." And so we see the story here of Jacob and Esau, the blessing that was Esau's, which was given to Jacob. And just going back now, I just wanted to point out a few things as we look back in verse 27. You'll notice there that it said that Isaac approached Esau and said, "My son, it's time for me to bless you because the time of my death is near." And from notes that I saw, Isaac at this time was 137, and he lived another 43 years. So he was close, I guess relatively close, but he had many more years to live. And one of the things that's interesting about Isaac when he was approaching Esau for the blessing is something that appears back in just a few chapters before in verse chapter 25, verse 23. If you look at that, this is where there was a blessing that actually came as a prophecy from God. And God actually spoke as a blessing. And here's what he said. This again, this is Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. He said, "And for the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" And so these were words that rang through Isaac's mind, and he knew all through the growing up years of his sons that that was a prophecy, that was the word of the Lord to his sons. And yet we see as the time came for the blessing to pass on the patriarchy or the family presence of patriarchy, he moved on to hand that to Isaac. And so we see all the events that took place there as this came along. But the practice of passing on the blessing was a tradition. It was something that Isaac learned from his father. His father, Abraham, was a very a traditional man, and he learned to pass on that blessing. And that's what he learned from his father. And so this was something that Isaac learned to do as a result of that time with his father. So it was a taught thing. It was a tradition. And it was deliberately planned. He knew what was going on. He knew that his son was going to be there. He had words chosen. He had the timing was considered, and he knew that he had the event planned out. Now, just a few words on a blessing. Let's go and just look at some of the basics. The blessing, just in basic terms, it is the gift of God's grace. Okay? And grace is just that power that comes from God that gives us the ability and the desire to know God's will and to do God's will. And so it's that essence from God, that flow of God's goodness that comes to us. And so the blessing in that general term is that gift of God's grace. And, you know, as we hear words of blessing, or when we say we're blessed, we often hear that term used so widely. But strictly here, it's a blessing you receive as a result of God's goodness. And the Hebrew root for the word blessing comes from the word barakah. And it's considered a benediction, a prosperity. And the next root to it is to bless. And bless is to bestow a blessing upon it. And something we'll look at later is to empower, to prosper. And, you know, prosper, we think of prosper primarily, normally, as a financial thing. But what I want to do is help us see here that, you know, prosperity is every aspect of spiritual richness. You know, we can go and look at Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and we can just see a listing of all, if you want a definition of prosperity and flow of blessing, those are some great chapters to look at and say, what does it really mean to be blessed of God? And so that's what we're really talking about. It's God. Those things are there, but it's God who empowers. He's the one that makes it possible, the capability that we have in order to receive that blessing. First of all, to help us understand that we have that blessing available to us and to bring us to a point of desiring to receive it. So that's how God works through blessing. Now, the Hebrew root to bless is very similar. It's barak. And the earliest use of that is to kneel. And that's a great word picture for blessing because, of course, when we receive a blessing, it's normally with a kneeling posture. And God gives us a blessing, and it's a reverent type of approach to God, a position or a posture of kneeling. And that's the typical or the traditional receiving of a blessing is on your knees. Okay, when a knight is knighted, he would kneel, and a king anointed would be on his knees. And God, and this is just a verse that goes with that. I wanted to look over at, I think we've got it on the board here. Our next slide would show the giving. One of the aspects of blessing is to give divine blessing. And giving of divine blessing, of course, is just reserved for God. And looking in Genesis 1:22, and as I said, the very first chapter of the Bible is the aspect of blessing. And we read there, and God blesses. And God blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." particularly talking about the birds and the fish. And but this theme continues on through Scripture, on through this first chapter of Genesis, the whole idea of progeny and that flow and God empowering not only with the ability, with the physical physiology to do that, but also with a declaration. And here's where he actually declares, you know, this is what I want you to do. The first command in Scripture is to propagate, is to multiply. And it's an exciting thing to see that having children is a great blessing from the Lord, and it's the first command, the first blessing that he's called us to do, is to bless ourselves, bless others, and continue blessing through the increase of children. And another aspect of that, just wanted to turn to Genesis chapter 9. And if you're willing, you can turn there with me, or I'll turn there and read that in just a second when I find it. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And this is Noah. Same kind of theme, but this is later. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." The command hasn't changed, but now he's kind of going, okay, we're starting over. All right. First things first, be fruitful and multiply. Go off and do what you were supposed to do at the beginning. And so he sends them on that trip. And he says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast on the earth, on every bird of the air, and all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat the flesh with its life, and that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man." He just goes on there and continues saying, okay, now we're laying down important rules, but things don't change in terms of the blessing. Continue, since I blessed you with the ability, you continue blessing with your ability to increase. And that's a neat aspect of what blessing is. It's that flow. It's that continual, like a river, flowing down, full to the banks, just sending its nurturing, sending its ability to quench and to bring life. And just the opposite of blessing is cursing. And that's just the picture of that river drying up. So the main thing to remember with blessing and cursing is just like a river. The flow being a life, and then the cursing where it just dries up. There's no flow. And so really, cursing is just the absence of blessing. That's all cursing really is. The next part of blessing, we said, okay, it's the divine or the giving of divine blessing, but it's also to adore God for his blessings, which is what we did earlier with Pastor Adelman, where we sing praises. And what that is we adore God and make sure that we show him that he's the source and proclaim him, just like he proclaimed his blessing on us. We proclaim the source of that blessing. And I think a very descriptive verse of that, I wanted to take you to 1 Chronicles. And this is an adoration verse. 1 Chronicles 29. This is, Philip and I had been working on this in studying a financial Bible study. And this verse particularly talks about God's part, our part. Again, the two wings of the airplane, that there's blessing and then there's receiving a blessing and sending that out. I'm trying to find this. Okay, oops, almost there. And this goes, it's in verses 11 and 12. It says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you have exalted your head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. And your reign over all, in your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all." So we see there, this is just a great reminder through the praise, through David's praise here, is that riches and honor, power and might, those things are a direct result of God's blessing. We often think that those are things that we acquire through our knowledge, through our strength, through working out or going to college. that we acquire those skills. But yeah, that's true. But the one who gives us that ability to receive riches and honor, the one who gives us the ability to have power and might, is the Almighty Himself. And this is a reminder here, just like David said, to lift that up, to adore Him for those for that ability. Another aspect, we said, so the first one was that it's given by God to us. The other aspect is to adore Him for it. That's blessing. And then the aspect that we're talking about in the passage here is to invoke the gift of God's grace on another. And that is what the picture of Isaac and Esau, where he invoked, he said, okay, God, this is blessing that I have available to me, that you've allowed me to give to my son, and I now pass it on as a gift to him. It's a gifting, it's a flowing from God through Isaac to his son Esau. And as we read, that was in Genesis 27. Another great verse on that one in the same story, but later on, is the story of Rebecca. This is early. This is when he was coming to be Isaac's wife, And it says, and they blessed Rebecca, and they said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands and ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Wouldn't it be great to have your parents give you that kind of blessing? To say that they're excited about you increasing and having thousands of children. I mean, that just isn't in our culture today. It isn't in our minds today. And, hopefully we'll come around and make that change in our lives to be excited about the increase of descendants. And then, of course, the aspect of we talk about blessing and to bless. And there's also, of course, the blessed. And the blessed is the person who receives the blessing, the one who is the object of blessing. And that's very important because all of us are in that position. We have all received the blessing. And we've received many different blessings in different aspects. So it's an exciting thing to be the blessed. Let's look at Genesis. Let's look back at Genesis 27. I'm going to take you on the next one. Just take us through the portions of the scripture. Let's look at verse 5. Okay, we're looking at verses 5 through 17. This is the conspiracy of blessing. I don't know if I mentioned the first one. Yeah, we said the example of blessing, the formality of blessing, and then I'm talking about the conspiracy of blessing. And when I say conspiracy, this is the picture, as we see here, of Rebecca, the mom, and Jacob. And as you know, back the scriptures before, this has been something very important to Jacob. God had put it in him that he wanted to have that blessing, and he wanted to be the leader and ruler. I guess he either took that verse, that prophecy of Scripture very seriously. God had put in him the desire to be the leader over his brother. So as you know, he supplanted or tricked Esau out of the birthright and a bowl of stew. And now it should not be surprising to Isaac that now he's taken the second half of that and taken the blessing. So, but anyway, there's a conspiracy, and Rebecca knew that that prophecy from God came to her, and so that was the words that she held on to, and so she was looking for the opportunity. She knew the personalities of her son, and her aspect was that Jacob was the leader, and he was the one that was going to be serious about those things. She had seen the life of Esau, how he turned aside and did not follow in the ways of God. And so that this whole idea of the bred deception and trickery, and it's hard to say, of course, we don't know the other side of the story, of what would have happened, even though they had the strong desire to see Jacob be the ruler, if they could have just held back and let God do His work. You know, we don't know the story. We don't know how God worked through all that. But things turned out the way the Scripture had intended for Jacob to receive the blessing. But you see in the story, because of the conspiracy, because of the trickery, because of the deception, there was major consequences and heartache and trouble. And you say, does that have to happen in this passing of blessing? And again, we don't know what God had in mind, but I would expect that God did not want to have all this, the tension in the family as a result. But we don't know all those details. But the big thing here is that there was a passing on a blessing, there was a conspiracy, and Isaac's desire to bless his son Esau was derailed. And just a list of, I was just thinking, a list of the consequences of that deception. For one thing, Rebekah never saw Jacob again, and vice versa. And so she lost her son that day and never saw him again. And, of course, Esau wanted him dead, so she continued dealing with that, his anger and having to deal with his bitterness, and his wives and all the struggles that go on there. She lost the son that she wanted to pass the blessing to, and now she had to put up with the one that that caused her just grief. Laban, we find out later, of course, that Laban deceived Jacob, and there was all those family struggles that were going on there. Family life was full of conflict. There was Jacob's exile for many years, and so the struggles that constantly went on, the trouble that happened as a result of those decisions. So we don't know. God's promise said he would receive the birthright, and that's how things turned out. Looking at the next section, verses 27 through 29, we're talking about the giving of the blessing. And we talked about the things, we see what things that Isaac put in his blessing to his son. But as we see him coming up to that point, there were several times where there was a chance for Jacob to come around. But he continued in the deception. There was that deception of blessing. And Jacob continued to say, you know, he had those chances. Isaac saying, are you sure? Are you sure that that you're Esau? And boy, he just didn't miss a beat. He was just on top of it, had a ready answer to everything. He's a practiced artist in this area of deception. And so we see how he continued down that road. And finally, he was able to receive that blessing from Isaac. And here was the words. He talked to his son. This is in verse 27. The smell of my son. Talked about the giving of blessing from heaven. The fatness of the earth. Again, that flow. The plenty of grain and wine. So he blessed him with food and prosperity and much physical sustenance. And that the people would serve you. Nations bow down to you. And so we talked about in a position of policy and even in governmental, in those families there, that he'd have a strong family and have influence in that area. Not only over the other peoples in the area, but over his own family. And so he actually put him over his own brothers. And so just when that prophecy that God had spoken came true through this blessing here. And so on your outlines there, I had this list of, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but there is a listing there of some resources I found of all the different types of blessings. And if you look there, we have it's almost an outline of what we have here with Isaac's blessing, but we have the physical and the temporal, where the blessing comes down as prosperity, physical prosperity, food, clothing, sowing, harvest, where there's the planting in the fields and the increase of the fields, and then longevity of life, and of course children. And then there was the national and the things that come as a nation. This was the blessing of nations. In this case, not so much the personal blessing, but an overall of a group of people. And so these are scriptures there that mention in those other types of blessings of general and specific national type of blessings, those that are fulfilled when they were perverted, when they were rejected. So there's examples of those blessings. And then there's the aspect of the spiritual blessings. In salvation, we know John 3:16, and we talked about the blessings in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And these are, in this one in particular, talks about the blessing of election. And then we have regeneration and forgiveness for sins. And it goes on. And this list is longer than the other. There's a continual list. And this is not an exhaustive list. There's so many more. We have adoption, no condemnation. The Holy Spirit is a blessing. He was given to us particularly to bless us. Justification, new covenant. fatherly chastisement, Christ's intercession and sanctification, perseverance and finally glorification. So it's just a flow down through all those areas of blessing for us. And take you back to now, Isaac's Esau's response. And looking at verses 30 through 38. Here we see here Esau was indeed a little upset with the turn of events here. He came in and, of course, he found out from his father that someone else had come before him. And I don't think he had to guess too many times when his father said, who was that? I think he would probably figure it out real quick who it was. And so he knew it was Jacob. In fact, did you notice what he said there? Looking down in, where was that, in verse 36. He blames the whole thing on Jacob. It's all Jacob's fault. He was the one that came in here and deceived. Of course, he was at fault. But he didn't lay any of the blame on himself, on his despising of his birthright, and his laxness of what this covenant, this blessing was all about. So he blamed his brother. And there was one thing that was pointed out to me. It was back when Rebecca was planning the deception, was that she had Isaac's clothes. I'm sorry, I keep saying the wrong name. She had Esau's clothes. And now Esau had been married, according to notes I had, for like 37 years. And yet Rebecca had his clothes in her house. So probably one of the biggest peeves that she had was she was still doing his laundry after 37 years. And so of course, she just takes some clothes out of the hamper, and it's an easy type of deception. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in for... remembered that from before and thought I would share that now. So anyway, Isaac was not happy. Esau was not happy. He had some major issues going on. But anyway, he remembered the Lord's words to Isaac remembered the Lord's word to Rebekah at this time, and he realized that he had, you know, taken a wrong turn here. He fully expected to Esau fully expected to receive the blessing, and Esau shifted the blame for the loss of his birthright and blessing to Jacob. But Isaac said, you know, there's a leftover blessing for you, and so he does give Esau a blessing. And this, there was prosperity in there, but he even showed he didn't disagree with his blessing to Jacob, because he still said that he would be servant to his brother. But we know in history there was some points where he did throw off the yoke, where Edom threw off the yoke of Israel. The thing I wanted to share with you also was a giving of the blessing today. Now, different aspects of blessing, but you know we talked about the passing of that. Of the patriarchal blessing from family to family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth, that flowing of families, that family line. And now there's also a blessing that, again, there's many aspects of blessing. Here's a book that we've been looking at and studying. It's called the Barbarakah, or Barbarakah. And this has been an interesting study. We've had several friends, family members, well, friends that have had children, sons, and a daughter that I know of who have gone through a Barbarakah. And I was just going to share a little bit about that, what our plans are. Philip is first, our firstborn son is Philip. He's turning 13 in a few months. And so we have been understanding this thing. Is it important? Is it important to pass on a blessing to your children? We live in a time, and I guess in a culture, where the idea of blessing is diminished. It's been kind of... been considered less important. And cultures, as we read here in the scripture, there's been times where peoples that have said it's a very critical thing, it's a very important thing in our day and age, in their culture and passing on the blessing to their children, so that there's definite moments in a child's life of rites of passage, changing on to the next level in their lives. And so this book has been real instrumental to us because it's helped us to recognize that and to see what they call the ancient paths. That's what one of the words that are used here. And they just bring up the idea that this idea of blessing children specifically, not just a informal or just an off-the-cuff thing, but making it a very formal, very a ceremonial type thing, it's something important to them. And one thing that came to mind in the book, or one thing that is mentioned in the book, is that it's God's intent for this blessing to happen for each boy and girl. And he has the example, the scripture has the example of Jesus in his own life. And of course, this is in Luke 3:22. Jesus was getting ready for his earthly ministry, and he had John the Baptist baptize him. And that was symbolically him following the steps towards obedience to God. And a very unique thing happened during that ceremony, as you know. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, and which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And that's in Luke 3:22. And what I've been told, there may be some here who could attest to this personally, is that that is words that are used normally in the bar mitzvah, or in the passing on a blessing in a Jewish household. And so that was a very traditional type of phrase that's used. "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And so blessing is a powerful impartation of two things. And one thing the book reminds us of is it's an impartation of identity, and also an impartation of destiny. And the identity is, who am I? What is my place? Who am I in comparison to my parents, and where did they come from, and what's our line? Who am I, and what is this all about? And the destiny, of course, is, what am I to do? What is my position? Where do I go from here? And particularly for a child looking towards adulthood, when does that happen? And so it's that destiny that you will continue, and you will have a purpose in God's kingdom. So the blessing is to come through the father at the time of puberty. Now, puberty is a word that just means when there's self-awareness, when there's awareness of adult things, when there's changes that happen in the body that make us in our brains and in our physical bodies that help us to see, hey, we're moving from childhood into adulthood. So this is a particular blessing. Again, there's many kinds of blessings, but this is a particular blessing to help children know that they're approaching adulthood, they're moving into adulthood, that they're passing from childhood to an adulthood. Not that they're in the ceremony actually becoming an adult, but they're now on that pathway towards adulthood. Okay? And the blessing empowers the son or daughter to prosper in adulthood. And we talked about that was the meaning of the word to bless is to empower, to prosper. And so it was an empowering of, and there's something powerful in that passing on a blessing that moves that child towards saying, you know, I'm empowered now to move towards adulthood. It's imparted by the father with support of the other key men in the community of believers. The men in the church, those who have been meaningful to the child in their lives and are also men who of integrity, who show that they are blessed of God and are doing the work of God. And that is where the child is moved into that community of men. And they're supported as someone who's starting that journey to manhood. As I mentioned before, the Jewish meaning of that ceremony they use is bar mitzvah. And I'm talking very limited knowledge of this, so it's going to give you titles. The Jewish, so it's a bar mitzvah, but it means a son of the law. Or for the girls, it's the bat mitzvah, for the daughter of the law. And they do a ceremony for each as they reach that age. And so the suggestion here for Christians is that Christians are now focused on grace, on blessing. And so the idea is they call it a bar barakah, which is son of the blessing, or bat barakah, which is daughter of the blessing. And so there's three components of releasing your child towards adulthood. And the first one is time of instruction. This is not surprising to this group of people here because we're so keen and intense on the instruction of our children. And we don't really just say, oh, here's this year where I'm supposed to give instruction to my child. We're constantly doing that. But this is like a formal period where there's certain aspects of the instruction that you impart to your son or daughter to prepare them for that particular next stage. And, you know, there's a list. I put a list of items there in your notes of areas of instruction And I just say, you know, for Philip, since he's my son, it was, the areas are, you know, what is a man? What is God? How does God make him up in those three parts of soul, spirit, and body? And what are his relationships to the opposite sex? Spiritual responsibilities, relationships with God. What are his responsibilities to work? All those aspects. Wisdom in making choices. Financial management and accountability. Vision and faith. Wisdom in choosing right friendships and associations. Family heritage and destiny. So those are just some areas that, you know, key us into those areas to help our children at that age to be aware of it. You know, younger, it could be that they are ready at younger ages, but it's at a time where they're more sensitive to take those on and to really understand them. And one thing that's been really instrumental to me is, you know, I didn't go through this type of ceremony with my father. And what's helpful is I'm realizing the areas that now I need to make sure I am well-versed on and am able to pass it on to my child with my own study. So there's a lot of things that Philip and I are learning at the exact same time. And we're learning together. And that's an exciting thing. And so we're learning. We've gone through, we just finished the Crown Ministries financial Bible study, for instance. We're learning about aspects of discipleship, learning about who God is and what he's, what is his purpose in our lives. What are the biblical evidences that Jesus is real? You know, those aspects of what does it mean to be an apologist and explain the scripture. And so there's many aspects and there's so much more. And I'm just thinking I've only got a few months left and there's so much to pour into him. And so that aspect too of Philip's my first, and I'll have plenty of chances to continue getting it right as we go along. But so there's the three aspects. There's the instruction phase, and then there's ceremony. And there's a real emphasis on that, in that, you know, again, it can be whatever level. It could be a ceremony within the family. But one aspect is a ceremony where you involve many people. Like a wedding, it's very analogous to a wedding ceremony. And one of the aspects they say is if you've been through a wedding ceremony and you talk to the couple, you say, do you know you're married? And they don't give it a second thought because there's no doubt in their minds that they're married. And how do they know that? Is it because of a legal piece of paper that is at the courthouse? No, it's because they went through a ceremony. And that ceremony was so real and it was so defining in their lives that it said there's no doubt in our lives that we're married. And so the ceremony is an important aspect of cementing and making it very clear in the mind of your son or daughter that they are passing from childhood to adulthood, and taking on different viewpoints and different ways of behavior. So it's the ceremony. And then there's the celebration, and that's the other aspect of just after ceremony, just like there's the wedding reception, is a time of celebrating, of achieving that position, or going through the instruction and finishing the ceremony. The ceremony ascribes value to the individual, employs meaningful symbols, and empowers a life with vision. And then the celebration is just a time where everyone can get together and congratulate the new adult. So these are some aspects, and I wanted to share with you a little bit about blessing and take some time to share with you what we're doing in our lives. And I know there's many children here who are moving towards or close to that age. And so I thought it was very important to kind of bring that out and to get you guys thinking about that if you haven't already. If you have any questions about it or whatever, please feel free to ask me about it. Let's close in some prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you are a gracious and awesome God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the source of every blessing, every spiritual blessing, Lord. It comes directly from you. And Lord, we know that your scripture tells us that we are the recipient of every spiritual blessing. And Lord, we are just amazed by that statement. Not just a few blessings, but your word says every blessing, Father. And we just are amazed about that. We just thank you, Lord, that you've taken the time with us. You've given your all for us. You have made such sacrifices, at least from our perspective, Lord, on providing those blessings to us, Lord. We could not receive them. We had no way of receiving them, Lord. But you did everything possible to make us receptive, to give us the ability to receive those things. And that's, in general form, is the grace you give us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all the ways that you bless us. We just pray, Lord, for our children right now. We just lift them up to you, Father, and that you would help us, Lord, to know how we can show them that at that special time that they are to pass on from childish things to thinking about adult things and moving towards manhood, moving towards womanhood. We just pray, Lord, that we would give it the seriousness that it deserves, Lord, and help us, Lord, give us wisdom to know how we're to do that, and help us to tailor that to our particular family situation, whatever makes sense in our family, so that it would it bless our children and show them that they are special, and just give them a direction, give them a convocation, a benediction towards that next walk in their life. And as they look at new relationships and as they see things differently, Father, that you would help us to be that guide in their lives, to help them make sense of it, and help them to realize that it is God's purpose for their lives, that they think about those new things, and that they are serious about their vision of the future. We just pray that you would just bless us as parents to be able to know how to pass that on, how to do that, Father, in training and instruction, and how to live that, how on a daily basis, continue to reinforce that. Help us, Lord God, to see how your ways are perfect and how we need to impart them on our children. We just thank you for all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.